There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk to William Denslow. He joins us on the line from New York. Will, good to have you back.
Hi, great to be with you, both Tim and Claire.
Well, look, let's talk about the what's being termed the Trump anniversary. I suppose it is a year, isn't it? However, is there a feeling in the United States, and I've seen much of this on social media, I'm not sure if this is actually a thing, has there been something of a backlash? Republicans have lost several gubernatorial races. Is that really a Trump backlash, do you think?
Well, Donald Trump, President Trump, hasn't been doing too well in the polls. That's been evident for some time. But, of course, this is really the first time that the American people could go to the ballot boxes and make their point especially clear. Now, this is being billed really as seen as the best day for the Democrats going back to 2012, when, of course, Barack Obama won another term in office. Of course, since then, they've lost control of the major branches of government. So this seen certainly as a significant move for the Democrats. We saw a big win for a gentleman called Ralph Northam in Virginia, winning against the Republican Ed Gillespie. Now, interestingly, in this race, according to some polls, 34% of voters that didn't go for Gillespie said it was because of opposition to Donald Trump. Of course, there were losses in New Jersey as well. For the first time since 1985, a Democrat, Bill de Blasio, New York's mayor, won a second term for the Democrats in this city. So this seemed certainly as a significant move. But of course, this is only minor. This doesn't really swing things in Washington, D.C. Of course, what really is being seen as a critical move for the Republicans is a massive bit of legislation. They're looking at a huge tax plan. They're hoping to move by the end of the year. They think that will have a big move when it comes to swaying voters before the next year's big elections that will have major significant implications in D.C.
Let's stay with Trump, Will. And of course, he's arrived in China, talks there today, a big welcome as well. What's been going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it's part of over 12 days of meetings in the region. He's been to Japan, South Korea, and of course now in China, where he received a full-dress military parade in Tiananmen Square, being seen as unusually elaborate, even for the welcome of a U.S. president. There was plenty of praise from both sides, both from President Trump as well as his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping. President Trump describing him as a very special man. Of course, the interesting thing, President Xi celebrating a consolidation of power at the party conference. This obviously in stark contrast to the setbacks in the polls for President Trump. But of course, there were two major things that President Trump is in China to try and achieve. The first, of course, is trying to get more collaboration and more achievements when it comes to trying to curb Pyongyang, North Korea's nuclear and missile program, of course. Now, nothing concrete is coming out of this, but President Trump says that he's confident that the two countries can work together to try and get Pyongyang to curb their programs. Of course, China is the biggest trading partner for North Korea, but China has insisted that they are abiding by UN sanctions to try and get this program to cease. Of course, the second big point is the trade deficit. That's a huge concern for President Trump, has been throughout his tenure, something that he wants to desperately address. Of course, that trade deficit currently stands at $310 billion. Now, they have signed a $250 billion business deal. They say that is a sign of things to come. Now, very interestingly, President Trump has not blamed China for this trade deficit. He blames previous U.S. administrations, but he does hope the two nations can work together to address this.
Will, can I ask you about the new restrictions on American citizens if they head to Cuba?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is very much seen as a reversal of some of the policies. The opening up and the thawing of relations has been built between the U.S. and Cuba under previous President Barack Obama. Now, back in June, President Trump said that he wanted, in a memorandum, said that he was going to try and reverse some of these changes. Now, what we understand is that in these new changes, most individuals from the U.S. won't be allowed to travel alone. They'll have to go back to traveling as part of a group. Now, for American citizens to head to Cuba, you need a list of reasons, whether it's religious, whether it's part of a sporting activity, that kind of thing to go. So that very much comes back into place. Now, also interestingly, there are around 80 hotels and a number of companies that U.S. citizens won't be allowed to go to. That's because, according to the Trump administration, they accuse these entities of having close ties to the Cuban military, intelligence, and security service. And essentially, the move, the reason for this is they want to cut off that form of revenue. Now, interestingly, we've, of course, in the last few years with this thawing of relations, we've seen a massive increase of tourists, especially from the U.S., around 300,000 last year. So very interesting to see how this will be affected. However, airlines and cruisers will still operate and go into the country.
Let's finish, Will, with the news of former President Barack Obama reporting for jury duty and some lovely video footage doing the rounds online of him greeting everyone as he arrived and basically acting like a thoroughly good bloke.
That's absolutely right. Of course, Chicago is very much his hometown. He currently lives in Washington, D.C. still, but he still owns a property in Chicago, which is why he got the call-up. Now, as you mentioned, there's been an incredibly huge outpouring. Of course, this is a real bastion of support that he has and always has had in Chicago. And according to Chief Judge Tim Evans, said that he was gracious. He took time to meet with fellow jurors. He sat through the 20-minute explanation video that all jurors have to sit through. He said that according to officials, according to eyewitnesses, he was very gracious, he allowed people to bring their books for him to sign, to take pictures, but he drew the line at selfies, but normal pictures were okay. Now, one thing that was perhaps a shame for some of the jurors, that he wasn't called upon to use his services, that despite him having a Harvard law degree. So certainly they're losing out on a very, what would have been an incredibly qualified juror. Now, interestingly, this is actually the first time that a former president has been called up. George W. Bush, he was called up in 2015, and he wasn't also called up to serve either.
Do you know, Will, that's a nice place to finish. Obama reporting for jury duty. Good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.